it's time for our state news roundup with Assistant News Director at WPR, Noah Ovshinsky. Noah, good to see you again.
It's good to be here. Good afternoon.
Well, a little bomb dropped in Wisconsin politics in the last hour.
Yeah, absolutely. We just found out that Congressman Tom Petri of the 6th District, which is east central Wisconsin, he announced that he will be announcing officially on Monday that he will not be seeking re-election. And he's been a congressman there since 1979.
Right. Long-serving congressman. Now, this is not out of nowhere. In some ways, he has a challenger, or he would have had a primary challenger.
Right. So Senator Glenn Grothman announced a few weeks ago that he would set up a primary challenge with Congressman Petri. So Petri was at least facing one, if not more, challengers in a Republican primary.
And we don't, of course, know what was in Congressman Petri's mind as he did this. But this comes really soon after the announcement of that primary challenge from a person I think everyone agrees is a more conservative Republican.
Right, absolutely. And Glenn Grothman, when he made the announcement that he was going to run for Petri's seat, he alluded to the fact that he felt that Petri was a little bit too moderate, that he was too supportive of compromise, and that it was time to bring more fiscal discipline to Congress in Washington, D.C.
If there's been one storyline and coverage of the Republican Party nationwide, it's this trend of challengers from the right, often aligned with Tea Party organizations, challenging Republicans viewed as moderate or at least not as conservative as they could be.
Right, exactly. Now, what's interesting with Petri now not running for re-election, what will be interesting to see is what happens in a potential Republican primary. Glenn Grothman, you know, will he still run? Other Republican state lawmakers have expressed an interest in this seat. So with Petri out of the mix, it'll be very interesting to see who steps forward to run for this seat.
That's on the Republican side. Might there be Democrats saying, gosh, I don't think I could have beat Petri, he's a moderate, he reaches out across the political spectrum. If I'm running against a more conservative Republican, maybe I've got a shot.
Right. That's true, although it is a pretty conservative district as a whole. So it's true that a Democrat or Democrats may step forward, but at this point, it's unclear what the field's going to look like.
You know, another storyline was in national politics is a party feels like, hey, if we've got a safe seat, we've got a Democratic district, we've got a Republican district, let's go as liberal or as conservative as we can here.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And, you know, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with this race. Obviously, this is a surprise, you know, and we haven't heard from Petri yet as to why he's retiring. A statement hasn't been released yet. So it's a little bit unclear why he's doing it, but we'll find out more on Monday.
All right. Well, another longtime Wisconsin political fixture really also announced today. Today, was it? Or yesterday, maybe. He's not going to run. Mike Ellis, currently the Senate president.
Right. So the Senate president, Mike Ellis, announced that he won't be seeking re-election. And he, like Petri, has been involved in government for a long time, I think 40-plus years. He made the announcement just a few days, though, after a video surfaced, an undercover video, in which Ellis talks at a Madison bar about setting up an illegal political action committee to attack his Democratic opponent. So this announcement comes at a time when he's embroiled in this controversy.
And what did he say? We do have a statement from him.
Right. So Ellis says he's retiring because of the environment at the Capitol. He says there just isn't any room for compromise anymore, and indicated that, you know, special interests hold too much sway right now at the Capitol. And he said that's why he's retiring.
But it's right after this video came out. Tell us a little more about what we saw in the video and where it came from.
Right. So in the video, Ellis talked about who would likely contribute to this super PAC and how much, as well as the fact that he would tap his brother to head it. What Ellis suggested in the video was essentially he wanted to create what it's supposed to be, an independent super PAC, but in fact would be controlled by his campaign. And coordination between super PACs and campaigns is illegal.
And Mike Ellis has been a longtime supporter of certain campaign finance reform laws. I remember him coming on the Tom Clark Show back in the day being a leading Republican advocate for campaign finance laws.
Right. What's particularly interesting about this controversy is the fact that Mike Ellis has been at the forefront of the campaign finance reform effort in recent years. So that's a really interesting twist given the substance of this undercover video.
And he has said, I was talking about this. I didn't realize as I was talking about it, it was illegal. I found out it was illegal, decided I wasn't going to do it off camera.
Right, exactly.
And now the one of the weird wrinkles here is where this video came from, right? It's the group, the James O'Keefe's group.
Right, it was a hidden video by James O'Keefe. And the group has been in the headlines before, quite a bit actually. Mm-hmm. Previously released hidden videos targeted and eventually led to, actually, the shuttering of the Association of Community Organizations for Reform. That's also known as ACORN. He's also targeted NPR and I believe Planned Parenthood as well.
But normally groups associated with the left or viewed by conservatives in NPR's case as a liberal media outfit, this is Republican.
Right, exactly, which makes this very interesting. Although this wouldn't be the first time that he has targeted conservatives. It is interesting, though, given his record.
And Wisconsin politicians over the years have gotten into trouble talking in bars. This is there was a Wisconsin mayor who got into trouble some years back, making some salacious comments, caught on video, caught on somebody's phone. I guess if there's a lesson for aspiring politicians, be careful what you say when you're out in public drinking.
Yes.
Sorry.
Agreed.
And that's my viewpoint. No, I'm editorializing a little there, but I think it makes good political sense. Well, moving away from political news, this a disturbing discovery by the DNR. We heard from a DNR wildlife expert yesterday, white nose syndrome, this disease that affects bats in the state.
Right. So this is the first time the DNR has found bats with the so-called white nose syndrome in Wisconsin. They were found in an abandoned mine in Grant County. And white nose syndrome actually is caused by a fungus that essentially causes bats to wake up prematurely from hibernation. And once awakened, the bats can sometimes die because of a lack of food or they dehydrate. And this is something that has literally killed millions of bats across the country. So it's a big deal. Not completely unexpected, but it's still a big deal to hear that this has been found in Wisconsin.
And the worry is now that we found this one instance based on what we know in other states, we're going to see more of it.
Yeah. Scientists say that in all likelihood, this will spread. Where it spreads and when it spreads is still an open question at this point.
And they're doing what they can and inviting the public to do what they can. What kind of efforts are available to help at least slow the spread of this thing?
Right. So in this particular case in Grant County, scientists think it was a bat from a neighboring state that was exposed to the fungus that brought it to Wisconsin. But the DNR is also asking humans, us, to do our part in helping prevent this disease from spreading. The DNR says landowners can help by putting up fences at cave entrances to keep humans out. They also say owners of commercial caves should ask their visitors, if they are wearing the same clothes or using the same camera that they may have had on them when they visited other caves. And of course, the idea being that if they knew that they were exposed to other caves where white nose syndrome was or had been found, that they could prevent that from entering that cave.
That's interesting. It's kind of like invasive species efforts for, taking boats from lake to lake or firewood for emerald ash borer, a similar sort of campaign.
There's definitely a parallel there. Yep, absolutely.
And bats, this isn't just a bat story. This affects more than bats.
Yeah, I mean, they're not just cute. And of course, I may be a minority, but I do think they're very cute. But in addition to being cute, they eat a lot of insects that would have otherwise, bitten people or harmed crops. How much do you think a single brown bat can eat?
Well, I heard the DNR person yesterday. The answer is a lot.
A lot. More specifically, a single little brown bat can eat 600 mosquitoes in an hour.
And I approve of that.
As do I. So this white nose syndrome, if it's a win for anything, it's a win for the mosquitoes.
Okay. Well, this is something that we're going to be watching, definitely, you guys in the news and us on Central Time. Briefly, two reports looking at performance by Wisconsin state government. What's out there?
Yeah, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group gave Wisconsin an A- this week in their annual report card that looks at spending transparency. Why is this newsworthy? Well, because it's a huge improvement from last year when the group gave the state an F.
Wow, that's a big jump. So there's got to be something that happened between now and then, I assume?
Yeah, the improvement is due mostly to the state's new online database of spending called Open Book Wisconsin.
So what I could go and visit this and see how the state's spending money.
Yeah, basically, there's a rundown of what the various state agencies are spending on what, and it goes back to 2008. The site itself averages about 850 visits a day. you know, not a huge number, but state officials, you know, say even if one person uses it a day, then it would have been worthwhile to do.
A minus, room for improvement?
Wisberg did indicate the state could do more to increase transparency. The group says it is still tough to get data on subsidies from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So that group would like to see better access to that kind of information.
And then briefly, our election system was rated pretty good.
Yeah, the Pew Charitable Trusts ranked Wisconsin's 2012 elections as the third best in the nation. We ranked high because of high turnout, the amount of information the state provides voters. And Wisconsin also has comparatively short wait times, actually, for voting. So ranked our elections ranked very high.
All right, Noah, thanks for joining us again.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
Noah Ovshinsky is Central Times news guy, official title Assistant News Director at Wisconsin Public Radio.